It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station.
It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Over
and up,
wise. Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this,
amateur
hour?
This is
going
to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's...
Done. It's time to head into a sports weekend, and I think for many, the work week probably ended yesterday about noon. We are broadcasting live at Winter Circle in New Haven. Come on out here and see us. We just had a chance to chat with Mark, one of our regular listeners. It's great to actually meet some folks. Yesterday may have been the best story. We met one of our listeners, and he said, well, you know what? He said, you're Brett. I said, yes, I'm Brett. And he said, I can't believe that I finally get to meet you. But he says, I got to be honest. He says, I've been listening to you for years. And he says, every time I tuned you in and listened to your voice, I could swear you were a short, fat guy. Well, I don't know how many people that are listening right now know my actual physical appearance, but I would not be described as a short, fat guy.
You got the short part.
Oh, come on. Come on. I think he was talking about being a little more round than I am. I complain about a few extra pounds, yes, but...
You know what? I actually had somebody tell me they pictured me as a short guy, too.
Apparently, our voices...
I don't know.
Just sound. Maybe they think, because we're in radio, that we've got faces for radio, which they might be right about that.
They might be right.
But they're picturing, you know, somebody that's, short, not the most attractive, probably overweight, because if they would have been thin, they'd have made it on TV. I don't know. But he told me that yesterday. We had a line of people here getting signed up, getting some freebies from us. It's great to be out here at Winner's Circle in New Haven, where we make our return trip. Yesterday was a lot of fun. Tonight's even going to be better, because you've got the Boilermakers taking on Grambling State. That is tonight, and if you're a Boiler fan, you want to come out here because you want to be able to get a little action on your Boilermakers. You know, you got to back it up.
Yeah.
Put something on it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Of course, the problem is a lot of Boilermakers fans are probably more tempted to take the points with Grambling.
Yeah.
Because they're just scared to death about this. And I tell you what, nothing to worry about if you're a Purdue fan. To me... Here's the story of the game. You're taking on a team who had a play-in game, which means for Grambling, they're going to come out with a lot of energy. They're going to come out with a lot of confidence. They also have shaken off the tournament rust and tournament nerves. For Purdue, they might play a little nervous at first because, yes, all they've heard from their fan base and everyone else in the media is they can't win the big game in March, and the regular season's great, but what will this team be in March? And so that has applied some pressure to the Boilermakers, and I don't know how they'll come out to start. Grambling is going to give them everything they've got. I just don't think Grambling has enough in the tank to be able to do it for 40 minutes. I think the physical presence of Purdue is going to wear Grambling down, and in the second half, the Boilermakers, regardless of what happens in the first half, the Boilermakers will pull away. And Purdue will win this game somewhat comfortably. I'm very confident in that. Grambling has not practiced against a guy the size of Zach Edey. They have not played against a guy the size of Zach Edey. And until you've had that experience, you have no idea what you're getting into. And, you know, some people said, well, Edey could get into foul trouble because of the athleticism of Grambling. I don't think so, because Edey probably can just stand on the ground and wave his arms and contest most of the shots around the basket for Grambling without having to really move his feet much or jump and leave his feet. So I think Purdue will make it difficult inside on Grambling. I think they're not going to hit enough threes to be able to keep pace. The Boilermakers are better at shooting threes than they have been the last couple of times when they've struggled in these first-round games. So I'm taking Purdue on the roll here tonight. What is Purdue? They got to be an 18, 19, 20-point favorite, right? Do you have that, Adam? I have not even looked at it. I had too much action to take care of
Purdue
this afternoon, and I've already lost money. But
Purdue minus 26.5.
26. Wow, now I know why Purdue fans might take Grambling with the 26 points. But no, I still think Purdue. That's a good number. I think that's about where this game ends up. I think it ends up somewhere 20 some to 30 point win for the Boilermakers. And in fact, UConn, that's kind of what they're doing. They're now up 79-44
mm-hmm.
with
just under six.
Wow, there's still 6 minutes to play.
Yeah, those over.
Over-under, I said, you know, the under sounded good. Yeah, man.
Maybe not.
Hold my beer. might not. And the line at, what was it, 27.5?
Yes.
Looks like UConn may have a chance to cover that. They're up now 35 on Stetson. And an update on Jalen Blackman. He's got 14 points for Stetson out of the 44 total. But he is 4 for 13 from the field and 1 for 6 from beyond the arc. Stetson as a team is just 2 for 15. And, you know, for these upsets to happen, that's one thing that you almost have to have. What we saw with Oakland last night is you've got to have three-pointers. Because you're probably physically not going to be able to match up in the paint or at the basket. But you can afford to give up some twos at the rim if you're consistently hitting your threes. And last night, that put a lot of pressure on Kentucky because Oakland was hitting threes. And the threes were being hit by one guy, Jack Golke, who played at Hillsdale College. And Oakland, my understanding, they were like the only Division I program where he was going to get a chance. And you look at him and you think, not overly athletic, he's going to be a defensive liability. Well, because of the zone defense that Oakland plays, you can help to cover a guy like Golke on the defensive end. He doesn't have to play the man-to-man defense. They decided they wanted that outside shot. They knew they were going to have some inside presence with Conway and Trey Townsend. But they wanted to add another shooter. And, man, oh, man, the guy lit it up last night. He's kind of become a folk hero overnight. And today, if you missed it, they showed a scene from Oakland's practice where he threw in a 94-foot shot at practice. So he's still lighting it up. And maybe even from greater distance. Oakland is advancing to take on North Carolina State. That game in the 7 o'clock hour coming up tomorrow. I want to point out a brilliant move that Greg Campy made last night that not a lot of people have talked about. In fact, I didn't hear him talk about it after the game. I didn't hear anybody talk about it today. But this is a 40-year coach making a call that probably is just based on experience, understanding the situation. When you're a team like Oakland taking on the terrific athletes that Kentucky has, obviously it's going to wear on you physically a little bit. And the teams, one of the reasons I think you're able to see these upsets is because the great equalizers, the extended timeouts that they have as the media timeouts at the under 16, under 12 minutes, under 8 minutes, under 4 minutes, that they go from a regular season timeout, which most mid-majors have at about 2 minutes, that it goes to a network timeout that's like 2:30 to 2:45. You're getting almost another minute of rest during those TV timeouts. And for teams like in Oakland that may not be as deep as a team like Kentucky or a team that's not used to the physicality they're facing in the NCAA tournament against some of the power conference teams, that extra time is very valuable. Greg Campy, though, had a brilliant move. Knowing that there was going to be a media timeout As soon as the clock stopped at 4 minutes or under, Oakland got the ball last night, and at 4:06 on the clock, Greg Campy called a timeout. Absolutely brilliant move, because what he was doing was doubling the amount of rest his guys were going to have to go into the final 4 minutes. And so at 4:06, he takes the timeout. 2 minutes and 45 seconds later, they come back. They play about 20 seconds of basketball. There's another whistle. And he gets a full media timeout for 2 minutes and 45 seconds. They got all that rest.
Yeah, smart move.
And they, you know, you need that. You need to just have a chance to sit, take a break, relax, get your legs under you, and also don't get caught up in the emotion and the crowd and everything else. And the other thing is, I thought Campy has handled this team terrifically from a mental side. First of all, Jack Golke, early in the year, he was a very average three-point shooter. But you know what Greg Campy kept telling him? How great he was. What a great shooter. You're such a great shooter. Man, I can't believe how great you shoot the basketball. And he was shooting it at like 33%. Well, 50% of the guards in college basketball can hit 30-some percent from three. But Greg Campy kept planting the seed in his mind that he was a great shooter. And then you get to the tournament, and all of a sudden, he is a great shooter. And a part of it is because he believes he is a great shooter. We've got the Division II Wabash fan that has come in. and I can tell you, the gentleman, his last name is Etting, O-E-T-T-I-N-G. I can tell you that. I know how to spell it. I know how to say it.
We both do, Brett. Yeah. We've heard the spots.
Yeah, he's got his business just a little bit away, so the office is now officially closed. It's after 5 o'clock. It is the weekend.
And he's at the place to be?
He's at the place to be, checking out the action. And, of course, he brought a big Purdue fan, so I think they'll be here watching the Boilermakers tonight. And this is the place you come out and hang with us for a little while and get your dinner in. Do your tailgating at the table. That's what you should do. And get warmed up.
It's a lot easier than sitting outside.
Well, then you don't stress. You know, you take off the edge. You don't stress over the Boilermakers if you get a drink or two.
Maybe.
You know, if it's a close game, you're still having a good time. You don't even know it, right?
Oh, man. Do you remember me being a Debbie Downer at last year? At a viewing party? I was not happy, and I was not positive about the Boilermakers.
Yeah, I know. I don't even remember the game. But I was the one tailgating. You were the one that was the Debbie Downer.
I was being a Debbie Downer, and for good reason.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to believe what I was seeing. I kept thinking, this isn't going to happen. But Purdue kept getting shots. And I'll tell you what, we've got to put a little of the pressure tonight on our Fort Wayne boy, Fletcher Lawyer.
Fletch.
He's going to have a play in this for Purdue's run in the postseason, because everybody says Purdue's got to hit the threes. Fletcher Lawyer's one of the guys they got to count on. He can't go out there and have a 0-for-7 or 0-for-8.
No.
Because it will get in the heads of not only Fletcher Lawyer, it will get in the heads of his teammates. Here we go again, not hitting threes.
And then that leads to frustration, and that leads to broken plays, and just, so got to avoid it, got to make some shots tonight.
Yeah, and I don't think they have to dominate the first half to necessarily win this game tonight. They just can't fall behind. If they give Grambling that role where they're up 10, up 12, and Purdue struggling to hit shots, now all of a sudden, all the pressure in the world falls on Purdue, especially because of the history. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think Grambling is going to come out with a lot of energy and effort, but from a talent perspective and ultimately a size perspective, Grambling will wear down. And eventually, Purdue will win this game tonight, 20 points or better. 46862. Let us know what you think on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Plenty still to come. It's a big weekend for Purdue Fort Wayne. They've got men and women in action. We'll tell you about that. We'll also get an update of what's happening this weekend here at Winter Circle in New Haven. We'll talk to the manager, Brian, about some of the weekend plans, which aren't just college basketball.
Oh, no.
And we'll take you all the way up until 6 o'clock. We got a lot of shows still left to come, and we'll roll with it next right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Broadcasting live on the road today at Winner's Circle out in New Haven. Now, if you're looking for a place to just kick back, watch all the games at once, including prime viewing of the Purdue Boilermakers against Grambling State tonight, it's right here at Winner's Circle at the corner of Minnick Road and Highway 30. We are just a half mile from 469, so it's very easy access from all parts of town. Come on out here and see us before 6. We've got some freebies for you, some T-shirts, some stocking caps. We've got a little iPad, laptop, computer bag. We've also got some beer koozies, and we'll get you signed up at that four-pack of tickets to go see the Comets next weekend. They right now kind of getting an update on what's happening with the action that we're watching here. First of all, UConn is rolling. It's 91-52. That's 143 points with 47 seconds left.
Ooh.
Yeah, with an over-under of 145.5. See, you know, the average person would watch this game and think, oh, there's nothing that intriguing about it. But for somebody that would be like here at Winner's Circle that maybe has something riding on the over-under, There's a lot of intrigue in the final 47 seconds of a game that UConn is leading by 39 points. So 91-52, Jalen Blackman has 14 points for Stetson, but Stetson's season is going to end. UConn will advance, and UConn is going to be taking on Northwestern on Sunday. And Northwestern got the win over FAU, Florida Atlantic, in overtime earlier today. Still, probably the storyline of the tournament is the Oakland Golden Grizzlies and Greg Campy, the longest tenured coach at Oakland. He's been there 40 years, and it took 40 years, but he's finally got an NCAA tournament win. It's been like a decade since he's actually appeared in an NCAA tournament, and now he got there and got a win, and so Oakland advances to take on North Carolina State coming up tomorrow night. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What's happening here at Winner's Circle? First of all, you can't go anyplace else and get some action and place a bet on the games then right here. I mean, you actually not only can place the bet, you get paid cash. That's the big advantage here at Winner's Circle. So when you win, you don't have to wait to see if the money goes into an account, which is all virtual and then has to be requested to be deposited, and you might get it into your bank account next week or so. No, it's all immediate. You win, ticket to the counter, boom, you got some cash in hand. That's great here at the Winner's Circle. And then you also have drink specials like Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, Yingling Drafts, just $2.75. And they'll even take care of you with the food specials. 10 wings tonight, just $8.50. Also $7 for candied bacon appetizer. And the sweet chili shrimp appetizer, that's only $9. And they're running these specials not only for the tournament this weekend, but also for the tournament next weekend. Those specials will run on March 28th through 31st. So if you come out for the Sweet 16 and Elite 8, you'll still be able to enjoy the great drink specials. They've also got the bottle buckets with Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra for just $20 here at Winner's Circle. Now, we are broadcasting the Sports Rush up until 6 o'clock. Purdue will tip off at about 7:25 against Grambling. And already we've got some Purdue fans coming in, getting their spot, ready to watch the Boilermakers tonight.
Unders betters rejoice. It's a 91-52 final, finishing at 143.
Never a sweat. I told you a half hour ago that that game was safe in the under column.
yeah. No sweat at all.
No sweat at all. And also UConn safely covers the 27.5-point spread in that
one.
But taking a look at other scores, games in action right now, you've got Auburn and Yale in a tight one.
Yeah.
Auburn 36. Yale 34.
38-34 now.
Oh, see, it changes faster than my app. Little over 2 minutes left in the first half.
Yep.
And also, it is a tight win between Florida and Colorado. Minute left in the half and a one-point Florida lead, at least on my app.
Yep, yep, you're right. And I know a lot of people have actually taken Colorado in that game.
42-41, Florida with the lead. With a minute left in the first half. All right, so the rest of the games this afternoon have gone final.
Yep.
And, yeah, it started, Adam, with Northwestern overtime win over FAU, 77-65. Florida Atlantic missed a front end of a 1-1 in the final minute. And then they also got the ball with about 4 or 5 seconds left, with John L. Davis pushing it into the front court and then just hesitating and waiting at the three-point line to launch a three-pointer at the buzzer. He could have gone all the way to the basket and at least tried to get a two-pointer in a tie game, which he should have done. Instead, he took a contested three, had the shot partially blocked, and the overtime was all Wildcats as they beat FAU, last year's darling, in the Final Four, 77-65. Baylor, big win over Colgate, 92-67. You had San Diego State with a win over UAB, 69-65. And Marquette had a close game for a while, but they opened it up late and won over Western Kentucky, 87-69. Clemson gets a big win over the New Mexico Lobos that completely shatters Whiskers portion of the listener bracket.
Yeah, we had a text, 46862. They said, where's Whiskers? He was so confident in New Mexico that I mortgaged my house to put on Northwestern.
Clemson, 77-56, gets the win over New Mexico. And UConn, a 91-52 win over Stetson. Now, we talked about this. The Mountain West is the conference that's really struggling right now. New Mexico takes the loss. Also, in the Mountain West, who else played today? You had, let's see, I've got it somewhere on my notes. San Diego State. Now, they won. They're the only Mountain West team to get a victory so far. Boise State, Nevada, Colorado State, and New Mexico all lose. So the Mountain West is 1-4 so far in this tournament. Then you've got Utah State that's going to be playing tonight against TCU. Mastodons are going to be in action, too. The women will play on Sunday. They're going to Cincinnati in the next round of the WNIT, and they'll take on the Bearcats coming up this Sunday afternoon. The men, meanwhile, are trying to get down to Tarleton State, where they're scheduled for a 7 o'clock tip on Monday night against a team that is coached by Billy Gillespie. And many fans will know, former coach of Kentucky, and maybe there's some Kentucky fans right now that wish he was the current coach of Kentucky. After last night, a lot of Kentucky fans not real happy with Coach Cal because Kentucky took the loss to Oakland, which is just a great thing for the Horizon League. Not only does it kind of validate the strength of the conference, the Mastodons beat Oakland earlier this year by 21 points. How many times, you know, can you say that you got a 21-point win over a team that won their first-round game in the NCAA tournament? Mastodons also had a game that they led with like 4 minutes left against Oakland here at the Coliseum, and then Oakland won it late, and that's one of the reasons why their coach, Greg Campy, kept saying, we win close games, and that was one of them that they did win, was the game here. And what happened in the game that was here between the Mastodons and Oakland was DQ Cole hit a huge three-pointer late in that contest to put it out of reach. And what did he do last night? He hit the biggest shot of the game. Yes, Jack Golke was huge with his 10 threes, but in that late possession when Kentucky defensively was not going to allow Golke to even get the ball, let alone get a shot, it was DQ Cole, the guy that was open in the corner, and he buried a huge three-pointer that led Oakland to a four-point lead and carried them to the victory over Kentucky last night. What a great win for the Horizon League. Not only just from an appearance and reputation standpoint for the conference, but also it helps financially, let's put it that way.
Nothing wrong with a couple Benjamins.
Everybody knows that the tournament is big money, and that's why some of the conferences like Greg Sankey and the SEC is kind of preferring that maybe these automatic bids shouldn't happen. And part of it is because it takes money out of the pot of gold and distributes it to smaller conferences. You know what it makes me think about? It makes me think of the college football playoffs, because that seems to be what the big conferences now are wanting to do. They're wanting to, you know, keep getting big conferences so we can get bigger shares of that pot of gold in the college football playoffs. Now you're starting to see that same kind of attitude in college basketball. And I'm like, no, keep the Cinderellas there. We talked about this earlier this week, that maybe you need to change how the bids are handed out, and that maybe it shouldn't be the automatic bid to the tournament winner in these conferences. Maybe these conferences have to be told, hey, if your tournament winner did not win the regular season, then the committee is going to have the option to take the regular season champ or the tournament champ. And if the other is good enough to get an at-large bid, great, you'll get both of them in. But if you're a one-bid league, we're not just giving you a bid for a team that's not worth being in the tournament. And, you know, it's a Cinderella story to win your conference tournament, and you get a championship. You can cut down nets. You get to claim a trophy, and you get to forever be known as the tournament champion for that particular year. But do you have to get an automatic bid into the most prestigious tournament at the end of the season, the NCAA tournament? I'm like, you know what? Leave it at the net, the trophy, and the bragging rights. But the best team from the conference should be the one that plays in the NCAA tournament. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back. Don't forget, you still got time to catch us here at Winner's Circle in New Haven. Big games coming up tonight in the NCAA tournament, and we're going to be here for it. You can come on by as Purdue Boilermakers take on Grambling. Still some tables that are available if you want to come out and get your seat and have it all saved for tonight's NCAA tournament action. This is the Sports Rush on location on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. You know, we were talking about the Mountain West and the troubles that they've had in this tournament so far with a 1-4 record. And what about Nevada and Steve Alford? Of course, he coaches the Nevada Wolfpack. And yesterday, they had a 17-point lead on Dayton and then gave up a 17-point run to Dayton. They ended up losing that game 63-60. After they were up by 17 in the second half. Not good for Steve Alford and the Nevada Wolfpack and the Mountain West Conference. Like I said, just one win so far, and that was San Diego State, who had to just claw their way to a victory this afternoon.
Yep, rough going for the Mountain West, and just Nevada just absolutely blowing that lead, and Dayton gets the win, and our Whiskers bracket is busted, my friend.
Yep, the Whiskers bracket is pretty busted. We've got some people starting to come in, getting set for Purdue tonight against Grambling, and well, one guy I know is going to be here is sitting next to me right now. He happens to be the manager here at Winner's Circle in New Haven. It is our buddy Brian. Now, tournament time, we talked about it yesterday, a couple of the biggest days of the year. It's been a lot of fun just hanging out, watching the games, and tonight probably the biggest of the first 2 days of the tournament.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's one of the best things I like about working here is watching people come in. They put a little bit of money on their favorite teams, but then that really ups their passion, their excitement level about watching the games. It's just a fun energy to feed off while being here at work.
Well, and you can, you know what's nice is like we noticed there's a number of people that have been here like all afternoon. In other words, it's just a place that's comfortable. You can hang out. You've got space. You don't feel crowded. You got great views. And when you see people that come in here to spend the day, you know how comfortable they are with the environment, the staff, the food, the drinks, because, you know, it's easy to jump in and watch a game and then feel like I can't wait till the game's over so I can leave. That's not the experience here. Everybody enjoys the overall atmosphere and experience they get at Winter Circle.
Oh, yeah. That's our customers that have been coming in since we've been here have been great. That, you know, they're friends with our servers, you know, and they hang out with me. We're always happy to just talk, you know, and that's another thing, you know, talking horses with the horse players or talking sports with the sports bettors. Either way, it makes it fun to be here.
And the other thing, we've had fun in being here is over the last couple of days, meeting so many of the people that listen to us every day. You know, we sit in a booth. We never see a person on the other side of the radio. And so for the chance to come out here and actually meet a number of the people who say, you know, I listen every day, or I've met two or three of the people that I've played in Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. They've come out. But it's a great experience for us to be able to put faces to some of the listeners, and it's been kind of interesting for them. I was talking about this earlier in the show. One of the guys that was listening last night was sitting up at the bar and or listening to the show. He was sitting at the bar watching the games, and he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Brett." "What's your last name?" I said, "Rump." He said, "You're Brett Rump." I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "I've listened to you for a long time, and I was sure that you were a short, fat guy." And so for some people, I guess either they're disappointed or surprised, but it's been fun for us. We really appreciate the opportunity to be out here. Now, let's talk about the weekend, because it's not just, I mean, not only do you have the men's tournament going on, there's women's games going on, the NIT is happening, you got enough TVs to be able to spread the wealth. But on the other side of the room, it's a big weekend for the horse racing, too.
Yeah, tomorrow we've got the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park in Kentucky, and then also the Louisiana Derby at the Fairgrounds down in Louisiana. Those are two of the bigger prep races for the Kentucky Derby. A lot of horses hoping to earn some points to earn their way into the Derby field come May for the big race itself, Kentucky Derby.
And that's what's happening now from here up until the Derby, is there's going to be a lot of those races where you're going to get a chance to educate yourself on some of the horses that will be running in this year's Derby.
Oh, yeah, and the next 3 weeks are really the most important of that, because you're going to get the last look at the prime horses, because they'll, you know, getting their last points in, trying to make the field, and also really setting themselves up to be the prime contenders to win the race.
And then also, I want to emphasize, we've talked about the specials, and just to kind of reiterate the specials we've got going on here for you: the Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, and Yuengling Drafts, $275. You've got Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra bottle buckets for $20. There's some other food specials, but these aren't just while we're here. They go all weekend this weekend, and they'll be back again next weekend as well.
Oh, yeah. We want to take care of our customers as much as we can during these important weeks for the big basketball tournament. The Chicken Bomb special has been flying off the shelf, along with the wing special. And also the BLT sliders have also been going well.
Oh, now there's... See, you keep throwing new menu items at me. I still have to try the macaroni... what is it? The brisket macaroni? The
brisket mac and cheese, yep.
Brisket mac and cheese. I know a gentleman that came in here and was listening yesterday. He's back. Now, yesterday he went for the brisket tacos, and you said those have become more popular.
Oh, yeah. The people are loving those. And the way it works is one person orders it, sees the plate,
yeah,
and everybody else is like, oh, I got to have me some of that.
Yeah, I just saw the picture and thought that picture makes it look delicious. But what else are some of the popular menu items here at Winter Circle?
From our main menu, granted I'm biased, but I truly do believe we have the best chicken tenders in the city.
Really?
Yes. I get those for lunch myself. I live off of the chicken tenders.
So chicken tenders, a little barbecue sauce with those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then now do the tenders come with any kind of side? Or
what? Yeah. It's a meal. So
okay.
You get four nice-sized tenders and a side, and it's very pleasing.
And you can enjoy that tonight, obviously, here at Winner's Circle. What else is happening here? What's exciting for people to need to know? Because I know one of the things you talked about with us before was the extended hours that you're going to have.
Right. We're open 11 a.m. This weekend to get people in for make sure they get their bets on the early games. And it'll be the same next weekend. And for the national championship game, we normally shut down at 10 on Monday nights, but we will be open until the end of the game, so everybody can come in, back their horse, so to speak, on the big game, and cash out before that night, so they don't have to wait till the next day or whatever to.
Well, we're excited to see the rest of this tournament, and I hope that the folks that are listening take an opportunity to come out and try this place if they've not been, you know, kind of tucked out here, hidden on the east side of Allen County. But great place to not only watch the game, but place a bet where you can actually get your cash when you hit a bet, which makes betting even more fun if you actually can collect the cash, put it in your pocket. But great drink specials, great staff. We really appreciate the hospitality. It's fantastic out here.
Well, thanks for being here. And for any new, don't be intimidated about horse betting. We can walk you through. We've got my programs guy, Tom. He is the best at describing how to bet to new players. And myself, I like talking to people and teaching that as well. So,
well, and you know what? I'll just tell a story. Years ago, the very first off-track betting place, I mean, this goes back to like the 1980s, and you know, we were aging ourselves earlier talking about some of the history of Ball State basketball. But back in the 80s, I lived in Rockford, Illinois, and they opened up an off-track betting, and I thought, we got to at least check it out, right? Just go in, see what it's about. Got in there, and best day I've ever had as a bettor in my life was that day, and I learned an awful lot, and I had some really good ups and a couple of downs, but it was overall a really good day. But the best part about it is we planned on going for an afternoon and stayed all the way until like 11 o'clock at night. It's one of those things that once you get to learn a little bit about it, what is actually going on, so many ways to take in these horse races that you really need to come out. And the other thing is there's multiple tracks where there's horses running. So it's not just, you know, watch a race and wait an hour and a half or so. There's multiple tracks that run at any given time.
Oh, yeah. There's 100 to 200 races a day that we broadcast here.
Unbelievable.
Anywhere 10 to 30 tracks a day, depending where the weather and the time of the season.
My goodness. Well, I don't think I saw that many, but it's unbelievable. And you've got a great crowd on that side of the room. And for those that don't know, the way the place is set up, you've got the main center bar where you can sit at the bar and you can relax. You've got the companionship of a bartender. You've got TVs right there above you. And then on the north side of the building, you've got all the horse racing, everything you need for horse racing on the north side. And on the south side where we are, you've got plenty of other sports action. So it's laid out really well for whatever your interest might be.
Oh, yeah. We do our best to put every game and every race that's going on the screen somewhere. So whatever your interest is, we can cover you on TV so you can sit and enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate it. It's been a fun couple of days, and looking forward to tonight with the Boilermakers. Hope everybody comes out and enjoys the game here at Winner's Circle.
That'd be awesome.
That is Brian Johnson. He's the manager here at Winner's Circle. And once again, come on out, order dinner, get kind of primed up for the big Purdue game tonight, and then hang out and watch the second games. You want to find out who Purdue plays once they win. They're going to win by 20, Adam.
We had somebody on the text line say you gave them the kiss of death by predicting this.
Yeah, like Purdue is monitoring this show so they can determine if they're going
to
win or not.
You know,
whole announcer's jinx thing.
Not your thing.
Nobody hears it. Nobody knows. When they go to the free throw line, it's not like, oh, no, I just heard Rump say I'm going to miss this or I'm going to make this. Nobody knows at all. There's no such thing as an announcer's jinx. There's just guys who choke under the pressure of being, you know, being in the moment. But anyway, Purdue, I feel pretty confident in tonight. It can't happen again.
I might have to sample some of those chicken tenders.
Yeah, I know. They got me hungry because I was thinking the brisket mac and cheese, But now he mentioned the tenders and the best tenders in town. I got to try that. I got to see if Brian's giving us a line here, if he's really got. Because I'll tell you what, I tried that brisket taco the last time I was here, and I was not disappointed one bit.
Not at all.
Every bit as good as what Brian says. So I'm taking his word for it. I'm going for the chicken tenders. I'm going to hang out, have dinner, and get ready for the Purdue game.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up here at the Winner's Circle. Coming up next, this is the Sports Rush on location on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Once again, a fun couple of days hanging out watching games here at Winner's Circle in New Haven. And they're going to be here and have these specials all weekend long. So take advantage of it if you're anywhere that you can listen to my voice right now. It's probably not that far of a drive to get here to Winner's Circle, because we're just off 469 and at the corner of Minnick and Highway 930 in New Haven. Taking a look at some of the scores earlier today, the winners, Northwestern over FAU in overtime, Baylor big over Colgate, San Diego State advances over UAB. It was Marquette with the win over Western Kentucky. Clemson gets the win over New Mexico, and UConn by 39 points over Stetson. Games that are in progress right now, you've got Florida by 2 over Colorado, 49-47 with about 19 minutes left. And then Auburn, well, let's flip that.
I'm going to update you here. It's 50-50 tie game between Colorado and Florida now, 18 minutes left.
What do you have on Auburn?
I've got Auburn up 43-42 on Yale with 17 and a half left.
Yeah, that game's been close. That's kind of a surprise as well. Games coming up tonight. Well, Purdue, the big one, obviously. They're going to be taking on Grambling. But you've also got Texas A&M and Nebraska. That could be a good game. In fact, Vegas has that as Texas A&M, a 1.5-point favorite. Duke against Vermont. I'll tell you what, Vermont could be tonight's Oakland.
They could be.
They could be. The Catamounts could be tonight's version of Oakland. And then you've got Charleston against Alabama. Longwood against Houston, and then JMU, Wisconsin. A lot of people looking forward to that one. It tips at 9:40. TCU, Utah State, and Grand Canyon against St. Mary's. Grand Canyon, of course, coached by one of the heroes of this tournament. The legendary Bryce Drew is the coach at Grand Canyon. Well, that will do it for us. Been a fun couple of days here at Winner's Circle. Don't forget, all types of drink specials and food specials, and they'll run not only this weekend, but next weekend as well. Well, we've got to thank Baylen Brake back in the studio for doing your job so you could hang out here, Adam.
Big thanks. Big thanks to Baylen.
And have a great weekend. We've got NCAA tournament coverage all weekend long for you, and we've got the Purdue Network coming up next. I am Brett Rump. This has been the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.